Okay. I am the program manager for environmental public health tracking in Florida, and I'll be speaking with you today about developing location-based community environmental health profiles. So you can think of that profile word just means like a report that's a combination of a lot of data that's a profile, in this case, about environmental health. And one disclaimer, I want to say that the presentation was developed by a coworker, Melissa Jordan, who just had a baby this morning, so that's why she's not here, and I'm in you know, doing this in her place. So the slides are hers, you know, but I was involved with the project as well, so I'm a good substitute. And I just wanted to say there's no relationships to disclose other than the fact that we are funded by the Centers for Disease Control in a cooperative agreement. You know, no other relationships to disclose. So what is environmental public health tracking? Well, you can think of it as a system to collect, integrate, analyze, and interpret data on environmental hazards, exposure to those hazards, and then any resulting health effects that could come from that exposure. And so that information is combined into a database, and then it's presented to the public in the form of nationally consistent indicators, you know, data basically. And the data has messaging with it, and it has maps and charts and graphs. So you can think of it as basically a web-based data query system that provides enhanced surveillance for environmental health. That's what EPHT is. Here is a quick look at the program nationally. In fact, this map's slightly old. There's two new grantees, Kentucky and Michigan. They should be dark blue on this map. Florida's had a program since late 2003, so we've been around for quite a few years. You can see it's not quite nationally, but there's 25 grantees and one state grantees, and then one city grantee. And each of the state programs has basically what we call a web portal, and ours is located at floridatracking.com. And it's that front end, it's the web-based data query system where we present data to the public and to other stakeholders. There's a public side and a secure side that you have to have a login and password to get to. And so if you have time, check it out. It's really a neat way to look at environmental health data and to see these nationally consistent indicators. You can look at this in Florida, and then any of those other grantees would have basically the same data, although we are allowed to focus on a few state priorities that we might just do in Florida. And you know, some other states may not do that. We also submit data to the CDC to use on their national portal. They have a national version of this that combines all the grantee states' data together. So it's a great source to look at for, you know, things like hospitalization data and emergency department visits that are not easily accessible. There's no ready sources of that data, especially at the national level, and that's kind of what the EPHT program is providing. So this gives you a feel for what's on these different web portals. Birth defects data, cancer, lead poisoning, environmental data like air quality and drinking water data, emergency department hospitalization inpatients for things like asthma, CO poisonings, heat stress. And then we do have a lot of demographic type data from the Census Bureau, as well as vital stats data, things like reproductive outcomes, for example, low birth weight, and some of the death data around on carbon monoxide and some of the other conditions that we look at. So I just want to give you a quick feel for what we mean by environmental health. These are conditions that could be related to environmental exposures. You know, some of them have a pretty strong link, and some of them, you know, like heart attacks, have a lot of other things that cause heart attacks, but there's a component to air quality that could play a role. Okay, now let's switch gears and talk about profile reports, because that's really why I'm here today. Melissa Jordan, she co-chaired a work group to create community-level or location-based profile reports. And the reason they formed that work group to do that is because for years now we've been focusing just on particular content areas. So there was like an asthma work group, there was an air quality work group, and they all produced documents that allowed the states to construct these consistent data sets, which is great. But we had not focused on meeting the needs of, you know, local or regional partners who are much more interested in looking at their communities. You know, I don't want to know the asthma rate for the whole state unless it's to compare my community to that asthma rate. And so that's why this work group was formed, is to try to meet that need for the location-based profiles. It helps those partners to look at their state health improvement plans, county health improvement plans, and then, you know, community health assessments for nonprofits and other advocacy type groups. So the work group existed from like June 2013 through March of this year. It had participation from state and city departments of health. You can see who that was there. And then other organizations like the CDC and NACHO also participated in this. So it really was kind of a national work group that worked together. And the goals were to provide reports that the communities and local health departments and coalitions can use to monitor environmental health issues over time, with the goal of driving policy, intervention, and other public health actions. So if you combine environmental and related health measures into a community-specific snapshot, then you can allow people to use that to solve problems, to design interventions. The challenge for some of us who've been doing this program for a while is integrating those profile reports into our existing infrastructure. So it took input from a lot of stakeholders, to decide how to present that information about communities. And one of the things we learned along the way is that people's definition of community varies. You know, to some people, a community is maybe the size of a zip code, or it could be smaller. For other people, it's more like, you know, the southern half of the county is a community. And so we're hoping to get to the point where we're a little more flexible in our definition and allow people to combine that together on their own. So this gives you a feel for some of the activities that the work group did. They sent out a SurveyMonkey link that was pretty detailed with regard to a stakeholder assessment. And I'm going to share with you a little bit more about that in a second. But they also went through this process of constructing a data inventory that included, you know, which indicators are we going to put in the profile reports. And then they created the draft of the reports themselves, the profile reports. And at the same time, they had a small group of people that worked on the outreach and communication plan. How are we going to use this product? Who is the audience? What are their needs? And that was part of it as well. And as I mentioned, there was an IT component to this. I mean, these are web-based data query systems that most of them have a database behind the scenes. Then they serve data to a website. And so we talked as a group about how everybody was going to be able to support that. And there's a lot of differences out there. The CDC in this program has not dictated to the states that you have to do things a certain way, because they understand the IT environments in all these different states are very, very different. So they've allowed the flexibility for the states to, well, as long as you produce this report that contains this basic data in it, we don't care exactly what it looks like or exactly how you serve it to the web. So that flexibility has been really helpful to the states to be involved with these projects. And then there was pilot testing that occurred, on the reports themselves, and then some revisions that happened earlier this year. And then finally, we did a bit of a push to our state stakeholders. Each individual state worked with the people that we saw as the audience for this, and try to get them to start using it. So I'm jumping back a second to that stakeholder assessment. And so we got responses from 12 states, a total of 28 responses, including some non-tracking states, which is good. I mean, there's a peer-to-peer fellowship program, so we interact with states who aren't currently funded, and they were in the loop on some of our efforts so that we can understand what their needs are. And the stakeholders also told us about different topics of interest that they would like to see in these profile reports, so things like children's environmental health, built environment issues, which we really took to heart in Florida. And then on the geography side of it, I'm really interested in how we can group zip codes and census tracts together to create geographies that might better align with the community's vision of itself, like where, what do we mean by this community? So the use of the reports are things like community education and outreach, better understand the links between the health and the environment, and of course things like writing grants to support those efforts. These profile reports are really useful in that regard because they point out areas where some communities are having issues with particular health outcomes compared to the state. I've already mentioned some of the topics that these include. So this is really hard to see, but it's a snapshot from our web portal in Florida that shows one county and lots of different indicators with that one county. Previously, we were really good at serving up data for all the counties in Florida, and that's kind of where this map came from. We're really good at that and allowing people to export that, but that just lets them compare their county to other counties. It doesn't let them look at communities inside their county, what we call the sub-county level of geography. And so that was kind of the next step for this. And so we have zip code level profile reports as well, If you go to floridatracking.com and you click on community profiles, it'll pull up this this little query system where you can pick your selections, and hopefully that's a little easier to see now that it's zoomed in a little more. This is for one zip code, and you can compare this zip code's rate to the state rate. Some of the measures in here are five-year rates, and if they're census measures, they're from the American Community Survey, which is, they have five-year increments there as well. These ones in the middle here, these are all, I did this with GIS and looked at populations that are living in proximity to parks and trails and fast food restaurants and healthy food sources like grocery stores. So, and this is only part of the report. There's more that wouldn't fit on the page. But it's a lot of data that's together in one place for one zip code. And now if you're from that community, you can see how your zip code compares to others in your county or others around the state. So we think that's a really helpful tool for people to use at the local level. I'm going to show some examples from other places, other jurisdictions. So New York City was one of the people that was really active in this work group. And they have a tool to look at neighborhoods. Now that's a great proxy for community. That's a pretty localized level of geography. So this one's for East Harlem. And you can compare it to another neighborhood like Manhattan. You can compare it to New York City as a whole. And you can see they've got this little tool here to look at whether East Harlem is doing worse, about the same, or better than some of the other neighborhoods there in New York City. They also have this cool little trend line to show you what's happening over time. So I really like this tool, and there's a second page to it that shows health outcomes like asthma and blood lead, heat stress. And again, you get this little trend line to look at what's been happening just in East Harlem through time. And then they also have this vulnerability section here to deal with the susceptibility of certain populations, this poverty and crowding conditions and children in poverty as well. So that was New York City. And another example is from Missouri. They chose to do city-level profiles. And so, like a lot of the other grantees for this program, they already had the county level for 115 counties with environmental indicators. There's 60 indicators at the community level. But they chose to go with the city as well, the 15 largest cities in Missouri, for a lot of the same measures. So this is looking at Columbia, Missouri. And you can see, it's just for basically one city. So you can work with groups in Columbia and talk to them about the challenges they face for some of these health outcomes and, just help them to design interventions for what they might be able to do about that. This screen is really just notes about the data. All of our web portals have metadata or documentation behind the scenes about the data so that you can understand a little bit more about some of the limitations and, some of the caveats that go with the data. And then finally, here's an example from Louisiana. They didn't have as much IT infrastructure in place already, and so they chose to use a tool developed by the state of Iowa, which basically just uses Excel, and you plug all this data into these different sections of the Excel spreadsheet, and it spits out a pretty nice little report that people can use an Excel viewer and just view this report and export it. It's a really nice and simple way to present data without having a lot of IT infrastructure. Okay, so the next steps for this effort for designing location-based profile reports, we're in that phase right now where we're doing marketing and some technical support for other states that are working to do this. We want to post some of this content to the National Tracking website. In fact, they funded some states to figure out exactly how to do that, because at the sub-county level, the numbers start to get pretty small when you're talking about zip codes and other sub-county levels of geography. But there are things you can do by like aggregating data through time or combining zip codes together, and so they're funding some states, including Florida, to do that right now. As far as future activities, we want to look a little bit more into metro area reports, support states to develop interactive features. So, I think we all like the websites where you can click and you can explore the data and everything's connected. You click on the graph and it's connected to the map and the table is also connected. So, as a group, we're trying to figure out ways to do that for our different websites. And then we want to add more social determinants of health, sociodemographic data. And there's a widget or a little tool that you can use on the national portal that we want to add as well. So finally, here's some lesson learned. We realized that for these profile reports, you got to have some interpretation in there to help people understand what's good and bad, how have trends changed through time. And so, you know, we're trying to build that into Florida. As you saw, New York City already has that a little bit. And then I spoke already about community versus geographic boundaries and how you want to design the location-based profile report to help people with a level of geography that's useful to them. And then simplicity is sometimes just fine because it's nice for people to be able to use a tool that is easy to use. We did that stakeholder engagement through an assessment process. And then because I'm a GIS person, I really love the way that we're getting into aggregating these different levels of geography to look at the different spatial relationships that exist at the sub-county level. So here's my contact information. And Nassandra, we're going to take two now, and then, right. Or you want to wait? Okay. If anybody has questions, I guess, yes. Oh yeah, those were funded grantees, the dark blue. Yeah, I think that's run through the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, ASTO. I think it's they do funding to support fellows in these different areas that visit some of the funded grantees and learn from how did you develop this program. So we mentored Kentucky, Florida, so we had somebody come down from Kentucky, and she learned all about our system, and she learned how to submit data to the CDC. And now she's funded, so it worked great. You know, she was able to show that Kentucky had enough infrastructure and enough need that she put in a successful application. So that's what the peer-to-peer fellowship is. Yes, sir. PhD funding has been around for a while now, and Florida is very fortunate to have had it for about 10 years. If it went away, I think it would be tough to support it. Florida doesn't have a lot of IT infrastructure. I hate to say that, but we've been able to use this money from the cooperative agreement to have a full-time database manager who does nothing but this. We have a web application developer, so I mean, you can see that this is the sorts of people it takes for this amount of content. That's one of the challenges is the volume of data, and then also these really cool tools that we want to have, the GIS mapping, interactive graphs. To manage and develop those tools does take basically full-time staff. So if the money went away, I know for Florida it would be tough.
Do you have any outcome data that would help you justify cost funding to sell the program?
We're working on that now. I like where you're going there. We're trying to, the program's pretty good about highlighting success stories. And we're trying to do that in a bigger way in Florida, too. So, you know, I know, for example, there was a county commission meeting in Orlando where they used one of these profile reports to say, here's a part of the county that doesn't have enough parks. And you can see through this EPHT report that the percentage of the population in that zip code that can easily access the park is pretty low. Anyway, that's just one example of how they used it. So, thank you, guys.
Excited to hear that the medical community is interested in doing that. We so far haven't been going in the direction of individual level data. There's a lot of sensitivity concerns, but there is a what they call a special project right now for electronic health records and for this CDC program to try to figure out how they can use them to get a better handle around environmental exposures. And so that's really part of the picture is for all of us, you know, when you go to see the doctor, how often do they ask questions about where you live and what that community is like? Is it walkable? Let alone where you work and other sorts of exposures like that. Yeah. There's a lot of potential there, yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.